Blog Talk Radio.
Are we on the air, sugar?
1, 2, 3.
How We Do It Radio presents the only show keeping you in touch with what's real and what's hot. Tune in on Saturdays. Only on Blog Talk Radio. Your host, Matt Mindful Jordan, presents Saturday Tea with Me.
Hey everybody, what's going on? This is your host, Ms. Mindful Jordan. Today's show, Saturday Tea at 3. And the time is 3 p.m. Today's show, Saturday Tea at 3, Baltimore Uprising. 6 officers have been charged and arrested with the death of Freddie Gray. My gosh, totally excited and, you know, leery, surprised. We are going to discuss that, the Baltimore Uprising, about the 6 officers, what's next. The state attorney, Miss Marilyn Mobley, I'm trying to say her name correctly, you guys. It's Mobley. We also have a guest that's going to come on from Baltimore who's going to speak about everything that's going on in Baltimore right now and is going to discuss also her case of police brutality against her son. She's going to talk about that. So stay right here. Stay tuned. Call in with your questions and comments. The phone number is 347-996-5183. What we're going to do right now is go ahead and play the speech by Marilyn Mobley, the state attorney, who is going to, you know, she's going to discuss the charges. So stay tuned right here, you guys. Saturday Tea at 3. I'm your host, Ms. Michael Jordan.
Near the corner of North Avenue and Mount Street,
Lieutenant Brian Rice of the Baltimore Police Department, while on bike patrol with Officers Garrett Miller and Edward Nero, made eye contact with Mr. Freddie Carlos Gray, Jr. Having made eye contact with Mr. Gray subsequently ran from Lieutenant Rice. Lieutenant Rice then dispatched over departmental radio that he was involved in a foot pursuit, at which time bike patrol officers and Nero, Officers Miller and Nero also began to pursue Mr. Gray. Having come in contact with the pursuing officers, Mr. Gray surrendered to Officers Miller and Nero in the vicinity of the 1700 block of Presbury Street. Officers Miller and Nero then handcuffed Mr. Gray and moved him to a location a few feet away from his surrendering location. Mr. Gray was then placed in a prone position with his arms handcuffed behind his back. It was at this time that Mr. Gray indicated that he could not breathe and requested an inhaler to no avail. Officers Miller and Nero then placed Mr. Gray in a seated position and subsequently found a knife clipped to the inside of his pants pocket. The blade of the knife was folded into the handle. The knife was not a switchblade and is lawful under Maryland law. These officers subsequently removed the knife and placed it on the sidewalk. Mr. Gray was then placed back down on his stomach, at which time Mr. Gray began to flail his legs and scream as Officer Miller placed Mr. Gray in a restraining technique known as a leg lace, while Officer Nero physically held him down against his will until a BPD wagon arrived to transport Mr. Gray. Lieutenant Rice, Officer Miller, and Officer Nero failed to establish probable cause for Mr. Gray's arrest, as no crime had been committed by Mr. Gray. Accordingly, Lieutenant Rice, Officer Miller, and Officer Nero illegally arrested Mr. Gray. Upon arrival of the transport wagon, driven by Officer Caesar Goodson, Lieutenant Rice, Officer Nero, and Officer Miller loaded Mr. Gray into the wagon, and at no point was he secured by a seatbelt while in the wagon, contrary to a BPD general order. Lieutenant Rice then directed BPD wagon to stop at Baker Street. At Baker Street, Lieutenant Rice, Officer Nero, and Officer Miller removed Mr. Gray from the wagon, placed flex cuffs on his wrists, placed leg shackles on his ankles, and completed required paperwork. Officer Miller, Officer Nero, and Lieutenant Rice then loaded Mr. Gray back into the wagon, placing him on his stomach, head first, onto the floor of the wagon. Once again, Mr. Gray was not secured by a seatbelt in the wagon, contrary to a BPD general order. Lieutenant Rice then directed Officer Goodson to transport Mr. Gray to the central booking and intake facility. Following transport from Baker Street, Mr. Gray suffered a severe and critical neck injury as a result of being handcuffed, shackled by his feet, and unrestrained inside of the BPD wagon. From Baker Street, Officer Goodson proceeded to the vicinity of Mosher Street and Fremont Avenue, where he subsequently parked the wagon and proceeded to the back of the wagon in order to observe Mr. Gray. Despite stopping for the purpose of checking on Mr. Gray's condition, at no point did he seek nor did he render any medical assistance for Mr. Gray. Officer Goodson returned to his driver's seat and proceeded toward the central booking and intake facility with Mr. Gray still unsecured by a seatbelt, contrary to a BPD general order. Several blocks later, Officer Goodson called into dispatch that he needed to check on the status of his prisoner and requested additional units at Dolphin Street and Drew Hill Avenue. Officer William Porter arrived on the scene near Dolphin Street and Druid Hill Avenue. Both Officer Goodson and Officer Porter proceeded to the back of the wagon to check on the status of Mr. Gray's condition. Mr. Gray at that time requested help and indicated that he could not breathe. Officer Porter asked Mr. Gray if he needed a medic, at which time Mr. Gray indicated at least twice that he was in need of a medic. Officer Porter then physically assisted Mr. Gray from the floor of the van to the bench. However, despite Mr. Gray's appeal for a medic, both officers assessed Mr. Gray's condition, and at no point did either of them restrain Mr. Gray per BPD general order, nor did they render or request medical assistance. While discussing the transportation of Mr. Gray for medical attention, a request for additional units was made for an arrest at the 1600 West North Avenue. Officer Porter left the vicinity of Dalton Street and Druid Hill Avenue to assist in the arrest of another prisoner at North Avenue. Despite Mr. Gray's obvious and recognized need for medical assistance, Officer Goodson, in a grossly negligent manner, chose to respond to the 1600 block of West North Avenue with Mr. Gray still unsecured by a seatbelt in the wagon without rendering to or summoning medical assistance for Mr. Gray. Officer Goodson arrived at North Avenue to transport the individual arrested at the location of North Avenue and Pennsylvania Avenue, at which time he was again met by Officer Nero, Miller, Porter, and Lieutenant Wright. Once the wagon arrived, Officer Goodson walked to the back of the wagon and again opened the doors to the wagon to make observations of Mr. Gray. Sergeant Alicia White, Officer Porter, and Officer Goodson observed Mr. Gray unresponsive on the floor of the wagon. Sergeant White, who was responsible for investigating two citizen complaints pertaining to Mr. Gray's illegal arrest, spoke to the back of Mr. Gray's head. When he did not respond, she did nothing further, despite the fact that she was advised that he needed a medic. She made no effort to look or assess or determine his condition. Despite Mr. Gray's seriously deteriorating medical condition, no medical assistance was rendered or summoned for Mr. Gray at that time by any officer. After completing the North Avenue arrest and loading the additional prisoner into the opposite side of the wagon containing Mr. Gray, Officer Goodson then proceeded to the Western District Police Station, where, contrary to the BPD general order, he again failed to restrain Mr. Gray in the wagon for at least the fifth time. At the Western District Police Station, the defendant arrested at North Avenue was unloaded, escorted, and secured inside of the police station prior to attending to Mr. Gray. By the time Officer Zachary Novak, Sergeant White, and an unknown officer attempted to remove Mr. Gray from the wagon, Mr. Gray was no longer breathing at all. A medic was finally called to the scene, where upon arrival, the medic determined that Mr. Gray was now in cardiac arrest and was critically and severely injured. Mr. Gray was rushed to the University of Maryland Shock Trauma, where he underwent surgery. On April 19, 2015, Mr. Gray succumbed to his injuries and was pronounced dead. The manner of death, deemed a homicide by the Maryland State Medical Examiner, is believed to be the result of a fatal injury that occurred while Mr. Gray was unrestrained by a seatbelt in the custody of the Baltimore Police Department wagon. All of this occurred in Baltimore City, State of Maryland. While each of these officers are presumed innocent until proven guilty, we have brought the following charges. Officer Cesar Goodson is being charged with second-degree depraved heart murder, involuntary manslaughter, second-degree negligent assault, manslaughter by vehicle by means of gross negligence, manslaughter by vehicle by means of criminal negligence, misconduct in office for failure to secure a prisoner, failure to render aid. Officer William Porter is being charged with involuntary manslaughter, assault in the second degree, misconduct in office. Lieutenant Brian Wright is being charged with involuntary manslaughter, assault in the second degree, assault in the second degree, misconduct in office, false imprisonment. Officer Edward Nero is being charged with assault in the second degree, intentional, assault in the second degree, negligence, misconduct in office, false imprisonment. Officer Garrett Miller is being charged with an intentional assault in the second degree, assault in the second degree, negligence, misconduct in office, and false imprisonment. Sergeant Alicia White is being charged with manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter, second degree assault, misconduct in office. While I am committed to transparency, what I have revealed here today is now a matter of public record. However, the evidence that we have collected and continue to collect cannot ethically be released to the public. And I strongly condemn anyone in law enforcement with access to trial evidence who has leaked information prior to the resolution of this case. You are only damaging our ability to conduct a fair and impartial process for all parties involved. I hope that as we move forward with this case, everyone will respect due process and refrain from doing anything that will jeopardize our ability to seek justice. To the people of Baltimore and the demonstrators across America, I heard your call for no justice, no peace. Your peace is sincerely needed as I work to deliver justice on behalf of this young man. To those that are angry, hurt, or have their own experiences of injustice at the hands of police officers, I urge you to channel the energy peacefully as we prosecute this case. I have heard your call for no justice, no peace. However, your peace is sincerely needed as I work to deliver justice on behalf of Freddie Gray. To the rank and file officers of the Baltimore City Police Department, please know that these accusations of these six officers are not an indictment on the entire force. I come from five generations of law enforcement. My father was an officer. My mother was an officer. Several of my aunts and uncles, my recently departed and beloved grandfather, was one of the founding members of the first black police organization in Massachusetts. I can tell you that the actions of these officers will not and should not in any way damage the important working relationship between police and prosecutors as we continue to fight together to reduce crime in Baltimore. Thank you for your courage, commitment, and sacrifice for the betterment of our community. Lastly, I'd like to thank my team for working around the clock since the day that we learned of this tragic incident. We have conducted a thorough and independent investigation of this case. This independent investigation was led by my deputy state attorney, Janice Bledsoe and Michael Shadwell. My investigators, Wayne Williams, Avon Mackle, and the hardworking investigative team that were here and still are very much committed to pursuing justice. I would also like to thank the Baltimore City Police Department, particularly Major Branford of the Homicide Unit and Rodney Hill of the Internal Affairs Division, for providing us with a hard copy of their investigative materials yesterday, information that we already had. And lastly, I would like to thank Baltimore City Sheriff's Department in assisting us with this investigation as an independent law enforcement agency with police power. To the governor of this great state of Maryland, thank you for expediting the autopsy report, which enables us to do our job. Last but certainly not least, to the youth of this city, I will seek justice on your behalf. This is a moment. This is your moment. Let's ensure that we have peaceful and productive rallies that will develop structural and systemic changes for generations to come. You're at the forefront of this cause, and as young people, our time is now.
Are we on the air, sugar?
1, 2, 3.
How We Do It Radio presents the only show keeping you in touch with what's real and what's hot.
Fire, baby.
Tune in on Saturdays. Only on Blog Talk Radio. Your host, Ms. Mindful Jordan, presents Saturday Tea with Me.
African, I'm black as the moon, heritage of a small village, part of my residence, came from the bottom of mankind, my hair is nappy, my dick is big, my nose is round and wide, you hate me, don't you, you hate my people, your plan is to terminate my culture, you're fucking evil, I want you to recognize that I'm a proud monkey, you vandalize my perception, but can't take down from it, and this is more than confession, I mean I might press the button just so you know my discretion, I'm guarding my feelings, I know that you feel it. Sabotage my community, making a killing. You made me a killer, emancipation of a real nigga.
Oh my gosh, guys, I'm so sorry about that. I am so sorry. I was just talking and talking. I didn't even realize that my speaker was not on. I hate when I do that, so I apologize for that. Baltimore Uprising, you guys, is today's show. This is Saturday TS3. I'm your host, Ms. Michael Jordan. The six officers have been charged and arrested. If you listened to the show in the beginning, I played the announcement by Ms. Mitt, the state attorney there in Baltimore, Marilyn Mosby. You know, she described all the charges, you know, that have been going on, the charges that are going to be taking place against these officers who were arrested. However, they bailed out the same day. The same day they bailed out. However, I wanted to say it is a good thing. It doesn't happen much, if not at all, that police officers are arrested or even charged for killing African-American people, and I will say people because black women are being murdered as well. I was discussing while I was on mute. I apologize for that, you guys. Welcome to the show. Call in number is 347-996-5183. I was discussing the case for people that don't know, who are living underneath the rock and don't know what's going on with Freddie Gray. Freddie Gray was a 25-year-old Baltimorean who was pretty much murdered by West Baltimore police. Right now, the officers have been charged, or six of them have been charged with his death, and they were arrested. If you don't know this full story, please go and Google it. We don't have time to get into it today. We're also going to be joined by a mother who's going to join us out of Baltimore. I'm proud of, you know, to have her come on the show and discuss what happened to her son in Baltimore less than 2 weeks prior, to what happened to Mr. Freddie Gray. This is not a new thing. This is not something that is new. There are hundreds and hundreds of people of color that are being murdered every 28 hours by violent police officers, and they're never charged, like I said, never charged. So that's what makes this case so different and the jubilation around this case in Baltimore is that these officers were charged. This young mother is going to come on the show. She's going to discuss how her son had his arms fractured and his ribs broken by police officers in Baltimore. She's going to discuss her case and exactly what happened with her son, so she'll be joining us soon. A little bit about the brutality of police culture in Baltimore. It goes on to rediscuss an incident. 5.8, let's get this number here correct, you guys. Give me a minute, because I want to make sure that I get the facts correct. Facts are very important. So when we speak about the culture of police brutality, and specifically we're talking in regards to Baltimore, it has been said that $5.8 million has been given out to victims of police brutality out there. Let's see here. $5.7 million is the amount that the city paid to victims of brutality between 2011 and 2014. And as huge as that figure is, the more staggering number is over the past 4 years, more than 100 people have won court judgments or settlements related to allegations of police brutality and civil rights violations. The tiny percentage of the unjustly beaten win formal legal judgments. Okay, let me just break down some of the victims real quick before we bring on the mother. Crystal is her name, and she can discuss what happened with her son. Victims include, these are the victims that we know about in, out of Baltimore, a 15-year-old boy riding a dirt bike, a 26-year-old pregnant accountant who had witnessed a beating, a 50-year-old woman selling church raffles, 50 years old, you guys, a 65-year-old church deacon rolling a cigarette, and an 87-year-old grandmother aiding her wounded grandson. Those cases detail out of control, battered dozens of residents who suffered broken bones, jaws, noses, arms, legs, ankles, organ failure, on and on and on over questionable arrests. Residents, have been beaten while handcuffed. Now we're talking about the situation with the Rough Rides, which Marilyn Mosby, the state attorney, says is what she feels happened to Mr. Freddie Gray. He was given a rough ride while shackled and not strapped into this police van. In regards to the 87-year-old grandmother, her name was Venus Green. Her story is paramedics and police responded to her emergency call, said that the white officer became hostile. He came up to, her house after she called 911. What happened? Who shot you? The elderly lady recalled. The officer saying to her son that he wasn't going to help him, that her grandson was lying, that he shot himself inside the house, which wasn't the case because the grandson ran home to his grandmother, and the grandmother was thrown across a couch, long story short, pushed down to the ground and ended up suffering a broken shoulder, you guys, 87 years of age. So these cowards are not just beating up, killing young men and women. They are battering and bruising and breaking bones on our elderly folk as well. It's crazy. $5.7 million in brutality settlements over 4 years. The 87-year-old elderly African-American grandma was only given $95,000 for her case. So here we are today with the Baltimore uprising. Six officers have finally been charged and arrested. But like I said, they've bailed out already. We talk about Marilyn Mosby, you guys, young African-American state's attorney, 35-year-old prosecutor who announced this. People are really putting her on the pedestal right now because she came out there to that podium with an attitude, and a serious tone that we have not seen in a very long time. I mean, she definitely has some activism flowing from somewhere. I have to say I was leery about her background being that she comes from a family of police officers, but I think she may be different. Already, the powers that be are trying to take her off of this case, and you all know why, because she is not stepping fetch it right now. She's not stepping and fetching it. She's not towing the line. You understand what I mean? They understand that they have an issue. There's a problem here if she, you know, she goes forward, because, you know, she's really seeking justice, not play justice, you know, for the cameras, you know, and for the public. She's seriously seeking, you know, justice for Freddie Gregg. And, you know, so, like I said, guys, call in, questions, comments, 347-996-5183. If you're just tuning in, today's show, Saturday tea at 3, I'm your host, Ms. Michael Jordan. Baltimore Uprising, 6 officers have been charged and arrested, you guys, and we are happy to hear about that. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to bring on our guest from Baltimore, and hopefully she can speak to her incident that happened with her son who suffered police brutality out there in Baltimore. And also we can speak, hopefully get a little bit of insight from her about what's going on out there in Baltimore. So stay tuned.
Two-thirds a person, great things and beatings and suffering and worsening. Black human packages tied up in strings. Black rage can come from all these kinds of things. Black rage is founded on blatant denial. Cheap economics, subsistence, survival, deafening silence and social control. Rage is founded on wounds in the soul. When the dogs bite, when the bees sting, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember all these kinds of things, and then I don't fear so bad. Black race founded, fed us self-hatred, lies and abuse, while we waited and waited. Spiritual treason is grid and it rages. Black rage is founded on these kinds of things.
waiting for my guest to come back on the line here. Saturday, see you at 3, you guys. I'm your host, Ms. Michael Jordan. The caller number is 347-996-5183. We do have a guest, a couple of guests in the QFC. You know, we have a guest from Atlanta that's going to chime in. And see, we have a guest here from 914 area that's going to chime in. And we're waiting for our other guest to join us, who is going to discuss her situation with her son being brutally attacked by the Baltimore police out there in Baltimore. I'm not sure what part of Baltimore she is, but I know the situation that happened in West Baltimore is the situation that we're discussing mainly today, the death of Freddie Gray and the six officers that have been charged and arrested. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to bring on a guest first, and then wait for her to call back in. So let's see here. Hi, you're alive. Hi, I can't hear you. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you doing today?
Pretty good, pretty good. Do you have a question or comment about what's going on out there in West Baltimore?
No, not exactly. This is Lawrence from Atlanta. I grew up in the D.C. area, so you know I wanted to get information on on the case to see how things are going. You know, Atlanta had the same. Well, most major cities had the same problem. You know.
And, yeah.
So it's interesting to see them getting charged. You know, we don't expect much, but we hope that mm-hmm. they get charged with murder, you know. And, mm-hmm. You know, and it's not just murder they're getting away with. They plant evidence and lie, and so-called right-wing people don't see no problem. All they want to do is blame the victims of these murderers, you know. And I had heard something from somebody from Baltimore that the march was peaceful until they got around where the game was going on, and they had people throwing bottles at the marches with racial slurs. So I want to know if stuff like that is, you know, credible things. I just want to, you know, get more information.
Well, thank you, Lauren, so much. And you know what? And when you speak of, like you just said, it's happening in every city, because we do know that there was a woman, a black woman, who was murdered in Atlanta, Georgia, a day or so ago. And they're saying that she was handcuffed in a patrol car down there at the Underground. I don't know if you heard about that story by Atlanta Police police officers. So, you know, thank you. Did you hear about the story of the African-American woman that was shot at the Underground in Atlanta?
I haven't heard it, you know, because I'm on the road. I drive a truck, and I haven't heard it, but it doesn't surprise me. But one thing I do want to say is they had already said that they were going to do this, and they call themselves the Invisible Empire. Which is, if y'all don't know, you know, which is the Klan. And so they already said they were going to do this. So instead of having sheets, they had baggies and robes. So you wonder why they got free from killing and blaming the victim, you know. And so, you know, it's just interesting to see that at least somebody being charged. So they need protection. I also heard that the person who filmed Freddie Gray arrest was taken in custody, too. And we need to talk to people eye on that as well. So that's all I wanted. I wanted to listen in on the guests as well to see what else, you know, going on.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate your call. And, you know, we're just happy to have people who are actually engaged and engaged in what's going on, and you know, thank you for calling in and giving your voice to this, because this is exactly what we need, you know, exactly what we need. People to care about what is going on. So thank you so much, Lawrence. And yeah, like I was saying about the case in Atlanta, there's a just a couple of days ago while all of this is going on out in West Baltimore before Freddie Gray's, the officers were arrested. There was an African American woman at the Underground. If anyone's from Atlanta, they know where the Underground is. That was shot and killed by police officers who claim that she had a gun. She was already handcuffed and taken into custody. And they said that she had a gun and she shot at the police officers. I have no clue how that happens, to be handcuffed and have a gun and literally able to shoot a gun from behind. I have no clue how that happened, how they were able to pat her down and take her into custody. And then she ended up being shot to death. Down there in Atlanta. So we will be hearing more about that story as well. I'm sure there are protests all over the place today for Black Spring is what they are calling it. Black Spring, you guys. In New York, there are rallies, there's marches all over the place today. What I'm going to do real quick, and Cora, I see you. I'm going to bring you on because I know I'm about to bring you on, and we're going to have some dialogue. I see you. I'm going to go ahead and contact my guest from Baltimore to find out what's going on with her. Her name is Crystal. She's a mother that is going to talk about her situation in Baltimore with her son being brutally attacked by the police officers. So stay tuned with me, you guys. I will be right back.
Are we on the air, sugar?
1, 2, 3.
How We Do It Radio presents the only show keeping you in touch with what's real and what's hot.
Fireberry.
Tune in on Saturdays. Only on Blog Talk Radio. Your host, Ms. Mindful Jordan, presents.
Hello? Hello?
Here we go. Hey, Crystal?
Yes?
Hey, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Hello. How are you?
Okay, great. You guys, you have got, what happens with this show sometimes, if you can't hear me, it's because sometimes I put myself mute so that you guys won't hear any background, and then I forget to take yourself off of mute. I've been forget to take myself off of mute, so I apologize for that. But Crystal, thank you so much for calling in. Is there a way that you can go to some places a bit quieter?
It's not quiet enough, because I came in the hallway. I'm not with the music game no more.
Okay. All right, I can hear like a little background, like the kids. But that's okay. I can hear you a little better now. Like I said, thank you so much. I know there's a lot going on. What part of Baltimore are you calling from?
I live at the west side, like right where the water actually has been, like that 10 North. I was like maybe like four blocks from where it really kicked off at.
Wow.
So I live like...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I live right there. That's
how it's going back. Wow. And how are things for you right now? How are you dealing with the curfew?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
How are you dealing with the curfew?
Well, me as a person, I stay in house anyway, so it doesn't really bother me. But I know like around the area I live in, you still have the defiant people that want to be defiant and be outside and riding dirt bikes up and side. But for the most part, people respecting the curfew and actually being in the house by 10 o'clock.
Absolutely. So let's talk about, first of all, what is your son's name?
Kiwanta.
Okay, and can you talk to us about the situation that happened with your son with the Baltimore police? As I'm understanding it, he did end up in the hospital. What happened with your son?
Well, basically, I think what happened, what I was told, was more like he's kind of like what you would call a trouble child. I'm not going to say he's an innocent child. So I guess what happened more was he must have been, like, I guess, making the police mad. When they finally did get him, they kind of, like, beat him up, but I wasn't able to see him for days. Like, they didn't even let me know. They actually told me he was in the hospital, but they wouldn't let me go in the room. They wouldn't tell me anything about his condition or anything. And because he was in custody, they couldn't release that information to me. So I didn't even actually know what was going on for at least 2 days after he was on duty.
And when did this happen? This was prior to Freddie. How close? Because what I'm hearing is...
This is like almost 2 months ago.
Wow. Okay. We were told 2 weeks. Okay. Wow. Okay. And now, is it true that what injuries did your son sustain?
He sustained like a black eye, a bruised face. He suffered from 3 bruised ribs and just a couple cuts and scrapes all over his body.
All right, so he didn't have a fractured arm?
Huh?
He didn't have a fractured arm?
No, he didn't have a fractured arm.
Okay. Okay, so Tim told me that he fractured his arm and everything like that. So,
I can't hear you.
Yeah, that's why I said you may have to go. Hello? Are you aware of the brutality that's taking place in Baltimore? I mean, others who have, you know, with the death of Freddie Gray?
Yeah.
Okay, and as a parent, does it concern you?
Yes, right. So, because I have had several people that I know personally who have actually died as far as not saying that it was actually caused by the police, but, you know, getting locked up for no apparent reason, you know, the cops constantly, you know, messing with people for no reason. So, yeah, it's, I think it is a big issue with it.
Let me ask you a question, because you are right there, you're in Baltimore right now. What are you hearing? What is six officers have been charged and arrested. Are people happy about that?
Yes, they are happy, but it's a whole thing with that. It's like, I don't know if you know about one of the kids that actually destroyed the property. He was, his parents convinced him to turn his house in, and they gave this child $500,000 bond. But y'all let the cops get out with no, you know, even though they found the car, but it was like nowhere near how much you gave this boy for just knocking out a couple of windows.
Right. And that's exactly what we were discussing earlier. We were saying that the six officers were charged and arrested, but they were let out of custody in the same day, and the bail was posted. According to the young, you know, people who, like, you know, did the so-called, you know, the uprising there, the young man had $500,000 bond. You know, that's her. He wasn't even charged with murder.
Exactly. That's extremely high. Yeah, that's extremely high for just busting out the windows. And like I said, I don't condone what the kids or what everybody did, but it actually got it out there because when they was actually doing peaceful protesters, it was never nowhere near on the TV. But the minute they start acting out, it's all over CNN. You couldn't even turn your TV on without saying it. So I don't condone what they did, but if they didn't do what they did, it would have never got out so big and so fast.
So with your son, and, you know, we talked about victim blaming, you know, victim blaming. You said in the beginning that, you know, your son, you know, you've had your difficulties with your son. He's grown up or whatever. What situation came out of that with the police officers as far as, you know, what happened to him?
Well, basically, I saw a lawyer. And basically what they just tell them, you know, the lawyer basically said it'd be a waste of my money basically because of the fact that they purposely don't let you back in the room with the patient because they don't want you to get any kind of photos. So the thing with their whole thing is, once they is, he resisted arrest. And all they did was try to restrain him any way they could to prevent him from getting away. So he would say, because I didn't really get photos and because it really wasn't that, you know, even though it was bad but not as bad, they were saying that I really didn't have a case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because his injuries wasn't as you know, as bad. He didn't, like, really have
exactly.
any...
Exactly. But my whole thing was that, you know, the fact that he was in the hospital, and y'all wouldn't even give me an update on his condition. All I knew was he was in the hospital. I couldn't get no kind of information whatsoever. Oh, was he alive? Was he dead? Was he critical? Like, not.
Now, there's something out there that they do that my cousin was telling me out in Baltimore where if a person once a child turns 18 years of age, they don't have to report to the parent. Am I correct?
Yeah.
So is that the reason why you... Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't 18 yet. My son just turned, he turned 18 maybe a little while afterwards, but he wasn't 18 when it directly happened.
Mm-hmm.
He was still 17. I mean, he was real close to 18, but he wasn't because my whole thing is, even when y'all locked him up, now that he has a juvenile charges and he has adult charges. But my whole thing is, like, when he got locked up, he was a juvenile. So y'all have no problems with trying to make him come to court and send me all these summons, but y'all couldn't call me and let me know what was going on when he was actually in the hospital.
Okay, so I'm trying to understand, if he's a minor, why wasn't the parent or a guardian called to let the guardian or the parent know that their son was in a hospital? In a hospital? That's crazy. That is okay. Well, thank you so much. I don't want to hold you. I just want to thank you so much for calling in and taking your time out. And we hope that you guys are safe there in Baltimore. And we hope that, you know, be a part and take part of what's going on out there in Baltimore because it's very important to get your voice out there and, you know, to be a part of the change, you know, what's going on now.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me on your show.
And you're always welcome to come back on. And thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, you guys. So that was Crystal, you know, out of Baltimore. And she just shared her story of, you know, being basically not being able to be let in the room. You know, she was not let in the room, the hospital room where her son was in the hospital. The cops prevented her from going in the room and talking to her son. seeing her son. She did not know her son was in the hospital until 2 days after the fact that he was roughed up. He had bruised ribs, you know, and all sorts of cuts and scrapes and everything from the police officer. The thing is, her son, you know, wasn't even, you know, was still considered a minor, you know, under 18 years of age, and they never called her. She had to find out through a friend of his, you know, by going, you know, through his cell phone and calling someone else and, you know, and them telling her that your son is in the hospital, that the police have beat him up. So, you know, like I said, I went earlier in the show, I read and I went through, hopefully you guys heard it because I was on mute, but I did go through the story of Freddie Gray and the police brutality culture in Baltimore, you know, when we spoke to the when I spoke about the 87-year-old grandmother who suffered a broken arm, you know, 87 years old by being beat up by the police officers in Baltimore. You know, Baltimore has put out $5.7 million in brutality settlements, $5.7 million to date in cover-ups. You know, police officers not being charged at all. You know, and so that's what makes this case so different. And for those in the activist community, we don't get excited too often. We don't get excited too often, you know, because, you know, we know the oppressor. We know what the oppressor does. We know the lies. We see through the BS, you understand? However, we have to say we are kind of happy and surprised that these officers were charged and arrested so quickly. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to bring on a guest, 2222. One of my comrades out here in New York, in Peekskill, if he's still with us. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Quan. Hi, welcome
hey,
to the show.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing, brother. What's going on with you? You out in them streets or what today?
No, I just walked in about 15, 20 minutes ago.
Oh, boy. Thank you for listening to the show. So you just heard... Oh, boy, it's just so much going on. You guys just tuning in, this is Baltimore Uprising. Six officers have been charged and arrested. What are your thoughts about the officers having been charged so quickly and arrested so quickly?
Well, I think it was, as Professor Stacey Patton said on her Facebook page yesterday, it was due to the righteous rioting that took place.
The
righteous indignation, the righteous rage that our people had. I think it's not confined just to Baltimore. It's confined to what is happening to black people as a whole at this present moment in our present history in America. You know, we are being railroaded from every place, whether it's from the police department, you know, whether it's from the educational system, you know. There's some housing. There's just an attack on us as a people.
What do you think about the state attorney? You know, I was a little leery about her because of her background, but the fact that I've done just a little small research on her, you know, she seems as if she, you know, is, you know, has a little bit more activism spirit, and you know, she has been even though she has all these officers in her background, she does mention that her grandfather was the first African American head of a black police organization that he formed, and everything. What are your thoughts on why do you think that she was able to have the power? As she's so new, she's just coming into her own. She's only 35 years of age. And she, you know, this is actually going to be her first criminal trial.
Right. I'm not really sure. I mean, you know, because she's, like you said, she's new. I'm just happy that she was, the way she brought the gamut down on these police officers, you know. I mean, you know, to me, it's a very conclusion, you know, you got to wait for the conclusion of everything, you know. Because of other situations in the past, but I mean, I'm thankful that she, you know, brought it down on that, you know, brought the gamut down on them, though.
Really, Kwame. I mean, really, we haven't seen this in a minute.
I think and we thank the people, you know, all the struggling people, whether it's the people out in the streets in Baltimore, you know, yourself, you know, the Facebookers, you know, the people in New York and different places around the country, Ferguson, going back to the streets.
They have voiced up and gave any sort of, you know, the right attention to this, the right attention to everywhere. Who's been... Not like you said, not just Baltimore, but from the beginning, you know what I mean? From Ferguson on, from like I was saying, I said yesterday that when I finally got home from work and I listened to her, this young lady, you know, the state attorney, give her the respect that's due, state attorney Marilyn Mosby, give her charges, I tell you, towards the end, I broke down. I really broke down in tears, and I mean, it was almost like a relief. And it wasn't because of the fact that she was able to have the officers charged and arrested so quickly. However, it was the fact that she gave a shout out to people who have been on the front lines and who have been screaming and yelling and emotionally distressed since the very beginning in the streets, you know, everything, you know. She actually acknowledged the young kids. She didn't call them thugs. She said to the youth who are out there, I see you. I see you, I acknowledge you, and I hear your cries for justice and peace. No justice and no peace.
Right.
She, you know, we haven't heard that. We haven't even heard that from the president. The president was calling them thugs. You know, the mayor of Baltimore was calling them thugs. You know, and here she so gracefully, you know, got up there and respect, and gave them respect. She said to the people out there who are angry and hurt, which was me, angry and hurt, you know, when she said that, I couldn't even hold my tears. I just, you know, it just came out like a relief. Because, you know, I'm just saying, you know, hope, you know, these officers have been charged and arrested. And like I said, you know, in the activist community, you know, usually we don't get too, you know, we don't get jubilant too much over anything. But, you know, I think there's a chance. And, you know, already, like the brother from Atlanta, our other caller that called in, like he said, you know, the right wing are already trying to get her thrown off this case. They are already trying to get her thrown off the case because her husband is a councilman. And out there in Baltimore, he's also marched with the protesters.
Right.
So they're not too happy about her right now.
The fraternal order of police, I saw an interview with him yesterday in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
He said this is a rush to judgment. There's no conclusive evidence. And, you know the regular that these cops come up with.
And like she said, you know, they were telling her, don't charge, don't arrest because it's too close. We still got to get all the facts together. She said she was already doing her own private investigation. And on the private investigation that she came upon, she went ahead with her team and charged them and arrested them. She has the power to do that. And to Marilyn Mosby, I would like to say thank you very, very much for being brave enough, you know, to not follow the status quo and to say, you know what, I have the power to do this, and I'm going to go ahead and do it. And that's exactly what she did. And so now we have to try to see if we could keep her on this case because they're working hard around the clock, the powers that be, to get her thrown off of this case. They want an independent investigator. They said she has conflicts. Conflict of interest being overseeing this case. And of course they're going to say that she's the perfect model. She comes from a background of officers and everything, you know. And she's against crooked police officers and everything, you know, no matter what. If you break the law, you break the law, whether you're an officer or you're a citizen. You have to pay the price. Regardless, you just have to pay the price.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, and as you said earlier in the show, you brought up the amount of money that the Baltimore Police Department has paid out in police brutality cases. And that's just And we're, let's be honest, a lot of times people don't even get paid what they should. When you talk about the damages that are done to their bones and their human, you know, after these incidents, they don't get paid what they should get paid anyway.
Right.
So if they were really just settlements, you would be probably talking about $50 million in settlements they would have probably paid out.
I totally agree. What are your opinions on the fact that they were let go so quick? You know, they were arrested and let go so quick. With the bail was so low.
I was surprised at that. What was the bail? What was the bills of these police officers? These individuals? What did they range at?
I know the amount that I saw was five. I think it was three. No, it was somewhere between 300,000, 250 to 300,000 was the bail. Like we were saying, the young man, the protester that smashed car windows, his was $500,000.
Yeah, and we have definitely the people have to fight for this young man, and definitely we have to fight for this young man, make sure that he's. Regardless, acquitted. Actually, I'm going to take you to the point, acquitted. And that's the only thing I don't want to say, outrageous. $500,000, that's just outrageous. And it just shows you how much they are so contradictory, because the person who, they never go by the law that says you're supposed to be like, the bill money is supposed to be, really supposed to be according to your income level, whatever the person. I forgot how it goes in the legality and all that.
I mean, when it comes to that, and we know you're dealing with a different set of laws, because like we had discussed, that officers have a bill of rights. Police officers have a bill of rights. That's why they were not arrested, you know, from what the mayor was saying, they have, 17 days? 17 days. That needs to be changed. 17 days. Get their story and lies and cover up straight.
Right.
And now today we're hearing that the driver, who was the only one that was charged with murder, a specific type of murder, legal murder, he has come out and admitted that he begged the other officers to strap Freddie Gray into the van. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't hear about that. No.
An officer that had charged and arrested is now spilling the beans.
Well, we knew that was going to happen. We knew that when somebody was going to, we knew that at least one or two of them were going to turn.
Yep.
After they got arrested, we knew somebody was going to turn around and say something and say what really went down. But, you know, that's unfortunate with these police officers. They put protecting the blue shield ahead of human life, so they were on too, you know. They don't want to be considered like snitching on each other, or they just went on to protect the bad, because, you know, it's an order. And it's unfortunate, you know, when you see the makeup of the police officers. Is it, three black police officers about this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a shame to see this.
Well, today is, before we end the show, to a caller, that today is what they're calling Black Spring, or the whole spring, you know, for the weekend. So I was trying to see what's going on for tomorrow, since right now my family is here. I have family sitting outside on the patio waiting for me. While I'm doing my show, this is my life. So... you know, I wanted to know what was going on, possibly for tomorrow, to see if maybe we can hit some actions up or find something that was going on about time tomorrow, you know, to get out there. Because I know, you know, everyone's out today. Everyone's out with the rallying and marches for today. And even though these officers have been charged and arrested and is moving forward, it's not just about Baltimore, dude. It's still all, like you said, all over the place. You know, in Westchester County, we have DJ Henry, we have a whole slew of others out here in this place where we're from. And like the brother said, they called in from Atlanta. Thank you for calling in. I think his name was Lawrence. You know, I appreciate him calling in. He said he just wanted to call in and make me listen. But, however, he did state his concern about what is going on in Atlanta, Georgia, as well. So, it's Black Spring. I'm going to go ahead and give out the information for those who may want to be a part of to find out more information about any actions that's going on in your area. You can text, let's see here. Let me see if I can get it right, if we can do it here. You can actually go to www.blackspring.com or just Google Black Spring and to find out your local area where they hopefully may be having some actions in your area so that you can actually get out and, you know, and be a part of the change, be a part of the solution, you know, and you know, and just get active, and, you know, and be a part. So today's show, you guys, is the Baltimore Uprising. Six officers have been charged and arrested. So the next show that we have coming up next week, we're going to have Ayasa Ilyasa. I want to make sure I keep pronouncing her name correctly. Ilyasa Shabazz, the daughter of Malcolm X, will be our next guest. We are super excited, and we will discuss with her everything that is going on right now. We want to hear her knowledge and speak with her about, you know, her father, you know, the great Malcolm X, El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, and what would he have done, how old he would have been, and what, you know, her thoughts on the movement and organizing. She's an activist. She's a, you know, an author, anthropist as well. So we can't wait to have that sister on the show. So make sure you guys join us for that. That's May 9th at 3 p.m. here on Saturday Tea at 3. And we're going to actually get out of here. Caller, I will be calling you soon. Thank you. Thank you so much for always supporting and lending.
I just want to say one thing. I hope after Mayweather wins the fight, he gives us a three out the ball.
Goodbye. But kid popped him in his mouth. I can't stand away with it.
He can make up for all the stupidity he's done in the past by giving us that to Baltimore. Make, give us something back, at least some conscious back for a change.
Something, you know, it's so funny that you brought that up because I was invited to a fight party tonight at Jasmine's house. Jasmine's having a fight party tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
I'll be calling you.
Yeah, a fight party, dude. So, yeah, I may go over there, I may not. But I'm going to call you, and thank you so much for always supporting us. We appreciate
you're
it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye. All right, you guys, this is Saturday Tea at 3. I'm your host, Ms. Marshall Jordan. Thank you so much for joining us today and supporting. Check out us on Facebook, facebook.com/HowWeDoItRadio. We are here every Saturday at 3 p.m. Again, like I said, next week we will have Malcolm X's daughter, Ilyasa Shabazz, here. She's an author, she's a philanthropist, and an activist. She will join us to talk about her father and his legacy and exactly, you know, give her thoughts on what's going on right now in this movement, Black Lives Matter movement that's going on with the anti-police violence movement. We appreciate you. We sure do appreciate you. Make sure that you like us here on the Blog Talk Radio page. Follow us here on this page. And if you are a person with a voice and you want to get something out that is significant to the community, if you're an artist, an entertainer, author, then please send me an email to this is how we do it, biz, T-H-I-S, I-Z as in zebra, how we do it, biz, B-I-G, at gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at this is how we do it. Or you can just go on Facebook and find me as well, facebook.com/howwedoitradio, and send me a message there, okay? Thank you guys so much. We are going to actually go out and enjoy this beautiful weather and, you know, spend some time with our family who is here. Thank you so much, guys. Power to the people. Power to the people. Power to the people. Everything black, all black, all black.
up into society. That's what you're telling me. Penitentiary would only hire me. Curse me till I'm dead. Church me with your fake prophesizing that I'ma be just another slave in my head. Institutionalized manipulation and lies. Reciprocation of freedom only live in your eyes. You hate me, don't you? I know you hate me just as much as you hate yourself. Jealous of my wisdom and cards I dealt. Watching me as I pull up, fill up my tank, they pill out. Muscle cars like pull up, show you what these big wheels about. I, black and successful, this black man meant to be special. Cat scans on my radar, bitch, how can I help you? How can I tell you I'm making a killing? You made me a killer, emancipation of a real nigga.
I saw them dress like a slave, got me black. Boy, the steel will leave a pain, got me black. I'm an ass, they put me in a chain, got me black. I'm a chain now, me go a chain full of rocks. Hey, you know, see the whip, left side from me back. But now we have a big whip back from the black. All them are to be doomed from the start, got me black. But remember this, heavy rain start from the black. Just remember that.
I'm the biggest hypocrite in 2015. When I finish this, if you listen, then sure you will agree. This plot is bigger than me. Generational hatred, it's cynicism, it's grimy, little justification. I'm African American, I'm African, I'm black as the heart of a fucking Aryan. I'm black as the name of Tyrone and Darius. Excuse my French, but fuck you, no fuck y'all. That's as blunt as it gets.